Right, welcome to this week's Writer's Block with me, Sarah Bannum. First of all, big apologies. I've got a horrible, nasty throat and there's going to be some horrible gurgling sounds, probably some coughing going on as well during the whole show. So that'll be fun. You know, we'll all join in on that one. Let's get to it. Tonight's guest is new to the show and I'd like to say a big Writer's Block welcome to Brenda Cox. Welcome to Writer's Block.
Hi, Sarah.
I'm glad you're here. I'm sorry we've got a dodgy throat. I'm also sorry you've got a bit of a cough as well. It'll be a fun show. I mean, what can possibly go wrong? So, you're a hypnotherapist and recently you've become an author, so congratulations.
Thank you.
How does that feel?
A bit scary,
yeah.
But good.
Good. Yeah. It's a positive scary.
A positive scary, yes.
Good. Yeah. And because you're a hypnotherapist, obviously that's going to work in your favour, I hope.
I know how to deal with the scary, yes.
Excellent stuff. And your book is called No Tigers, No Lions.
That's right. No Tigers, No Lions, A Practical Guide to Mastering Your Anxiety.
Wonderful. Right. I realise there's a lot going on in the background as your debut book will be available in 2020. Oh, it sounds like a long way away, but that's going to go so quickly, isn't it?
It's not long. It may be a little bit sooner, but yeah, that's kind of the latest will be early 2020.
It's going to be so exciting.
Yes.
So let's get to how you got to this point. Tell me about how you got to this point.
Great. Well, I had a career in IT for many years before becoming a hypnotherapist. I used to be an IT project manager for a big company. And I kind of reached a point when I was about 40 when I thought, I just can't do this anymore. I could see my retirement kind of 25 years in the future and thought, I can't sit here being a project manager for another 25 years. I need to do something different.
Right.
And I'd always had an interest in psychology, in therapy, in self-help. I'd suffered with anxiety and panic attacks myself. I looked at the options. I looked at things like counselling and psychotherapy and all the things I could retrain as, and hypnotherapy. I was just drawn to it. I was drawn to find out more and to train, which I did, and set up my own practice. And some people would say bravely and some people would say foolishly. Immediately resigned from a stable job to set up my own practice.
You have to do that though sometimes, don't you?
I think sometimes you just have to take a leap
and
do something, otherwise it never happens.
Right.
And I did that. That's 10 years ago now, and I've been working as a hypnotherapist for 10 years this year.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And over that time, I've seen hundreds of clients. As I said before, I've suffered with anxiety and panic attacks myself. I've seen loads and loads of clients with the same. I've taught them techniques. I've taught them how to master their anxiety. So it felt like there was a load of stuff inside my head that I kept telling people, and I kept teaching clients each time a new client came along. And I just wanted to get that into a book. I wanted to get that out of my head and into something that potential clients could read and get some help that way.
So from you said about you wanted it for potential clients. Did you think of, when you wrote the book, did you think of it as potential clients and the rest of the world? Or was it purely potential clients at that time?
I think when I first thought about writing it, it was two things. One was, I've got to get this out of my head.
Yes.
It's kind of, there was a load of stuff.
Because then you can continue with your life, can't you?
That's
once it's out of your head.
That's right. And secondly, it was just for potential clients. That was my idea, was to have something that either when I was working with a new client, session one, I could give them the book so that, you know, it's something we could use together as we work together. But also for people who maybe couldn't afford therapy or weren't in the position to have therapy, it would give them almost a stepping stone, something that they could buy as an entry point, if you like.
So really, actually, it's a really good way of doing it, because as you say, it's affordability as well, but it's, you're still going to get a lot of the information.
That's right.
With any luck, hopefully those people who would buy the book would then, you know, be able to save up and then have the real life Brenda.
That's right. And I think, you know, for some people, they'll get everything that they need from the book, and that's fine. And for other people, they'll want to continue with me or someone like me to take it even further, and that's okay too.
Tell me about hypnotherapy. What draws you in?
I love hypnotherapy because it allows us to really get to the bottom of a problem. It really enables us to help people let go of a problem once and for all. sometimes we talk about problems a lot. We talk about how anxious we are. We talk about how bad things are in our lives. We go over and over all of that. And that's okay. That's needed sometimes. That's part of what we do is talking and getting everything out in the open. But once we've done that, we also need to deal with what's stuck inside, what's stuck in our unconscious mind. Why do we keep panicking? Why do we worry about things? Why do we get anxious? And I love with hypnotherapy that we can really get in, use all the different tools and techniques and really get into the unconscious mind and help people to release that and to let go of it.
So from your point of view, you're not solving it for them, but you're giving them ways and tools to work on ways to help themselves.
Absolutely. I really believe that everybody has all the resources and the knowledge about themselves that they need to let go of their problem. Just that when we're stuck in a problem, we can't see that, we can't access it. We're just in the blackness, if you like.
Right.
So it's not my job to tell somebody how to talk about in the book. Is helping them find a safe place within, somewhere they can go within their own mind and feel safe and calm and relaxed. And, you know, I can never predict what someone's safe place is going to be like. You know, for some people it's just a colour. Some people it's something very exotic, like being on a warm beach. But
which is really, really nice right now, wouldn't it?
Being on a warm beach would be lovely right now.
I've got obviously a list of questions to ask you, but I'm going to just throw this one in there as well. You're saying about how you can help people with the right tools find their own unique way. Now, this is, you know, obviously it's a writing show, but I know that you also write fiction as well. Now, when it comes to characters, it's a kind of a similar thing because as the hypnotherapist, you're feeding tools into the character and let them blossom, I suppose, and find their ways out. So that's another way of looking at it.
It is, and I loved, I never thought of it that way, but something you taught me last year was when we did that exercise where we almost went inside into a little trance and we met our characters.
Right.
And we visualised our character and we asked them questions and got to know them. And absolutely, that was a pure hypnotic technique that you taught me, and I'd never thought of using it that way.
thank you. Yes, I didn't ask her to say that, honestly. But actually it's a really good technique, but it's also really it's exciting is probably not the right word, because when you're doing those sort of visualization techniques, the last thing you want to think about is excitement, because you're supposed to be really relaxed. But it is an exciting thing to do, isn't it?
Yes.
It's really tough to get your head around those words and the true meanings. So back to your non-fiction book, though, how do fears, phobias and anxiety fit into your job and your book?
So the majority of people that I work with have some form of anxiety, some form of fear, overthinking, something like that. And so that's mainly what I work with. And so that's, again, is mainly what I wanted to put in my book, the tools and techniques that they can use to manage that anxiety, to master it and not be a victim of it.
Right. And it's certainly not an easy thing to, I suppose, I mean, as you know, I live with anxiety and trying to take the thing that is the problem out and finding out what it is and why it is and then presenting it to you to get you to bring the tools back to help me manage it. The whole situation, you're a very, very special person.
Thank you.
Well, you are. I'm not just saying that because, you know, it's you and I know you, but you've got to be a particular type of person to be a hypnotherapist. It's not going to work with just anybody, is it?
No. And what I've tried to do in the book is put the tools in a nice, easy order.
Right.
So that we start with the first things that I would teach you if you were in a room with me, and then build our way through progressively into the things that layer on top of that.
Yeah, so about layers, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we just start with really basic stuff around understanding why those things are happening to your body, why you're having panic attacks, breathing, the real basics, and then layering on top of it.
It's such a fascinating subject. It's sad we've only got, you know, 40 minutes left, really. We could do with about 3 hours. But it's such a fascinating subject that, you know, the brain is so, it's so in-depth, it's so powerful.
It is.
But it can work against us. But it's a matter. It's about getting it to work for us, isn't it?
Yeah.
And maybe harnessing it and Well, embracing it as well.
Absolutely. And you know, once you begin to understand what's happening and why it's happening in that way, then you can embrace it and control it.
It's incredible. Hats off to you, Brenda, because you know the fact that you do this for a career and, you know, you're writing books about it. I mean, it's an incredible thing. It's a fascinating subject, and the nearest I ever get to hypnotherapy, as mentioned earlier, is meditation. Mm. But the psychology aspect, it fascinates me because of the character psychology.
Yes.
So, you know, bringing what you do and, you know, what I do, I guess,
yeah,
put them together and, you know, character psychology. That part, for me, is really fascinating because you're creating a character from nothing at all.
Yeah.
So you're essentially putting in part of yourself.
Mm.
And if it's the part of yourself that maybe isn't working correctly...
Yes.
You know, you're playing around with that and trying to get it to work. So it's a sort of a detached therapy in a way, because you're getting your issues within the character that, you've projected onto this poor character that didn't exist before now and is only existing for you to work on it.
Yeah.
It's crazy, isn't
it? Writing as therapy.
It's probably a really poor choice of words, actually. I've been fortunate enough to read your book. And how did you feel showing other people the book before it was published?
That was really scary.
It's terrifying, isn't it?
It is, and having spent time writing it and then having to actually open yourself up to the possibility of criticism and feedback and all those scary things.
Because it's been in your mind for such a long time, and then, I mean, how long? It took you about a year to write it, didn't it?
The actual pounding out of the words was probably about 3 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I know when you finished a course that we were both part of, that was about a year ago, and you said that you were going to start getting to it. So
yes.
It took 3 months to write it.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. And then there was all the rereading it for myself and that kind of first edit. And then I probably sat on it for a while before I was brave enough to say to, I think it was my husband, first of all, you know, can you read this through and give me feedback? And then a therapist friend read it. And then you. And yeah.
I think when you've got a book that, well, for a start, you hadn't written a book that was intended to be published before.
Nope.
So that's one thing.
Mm.
But the content as well. And then the fact that it's essentially all about your career.
Mm.
It's all about what you do.
Yeah.
So it's a triple whammy, really. Mm. And then, you know, you're putting that out there for somebody else to have a look at, you know, provide feedback, make sure you've got everything where it needs to be. I mean, there's so many things that... And because of the content, it's quite ironic, isn't it, the content? Because then you're thinking, well, I've got to employ some of these tools now because
absolutely.
I'm so anxious about the responses.
Absolutely. And I wanted to include in the book as well some of my own experiences with anxiety and some of my own fears and so on. And those were the scary bits, knowing that people were going to read that. People were going to actually know the sorts of things that I'd been scared of and the experience I'd had of anxiety in the past.
It just makes you so much more vulnerable as the author, doesn't it?
Yes.
So, I mean, gosh, you've just gone through so many things, written it down, let other people see it, and applied the fact that it's your business as well on top of it. So, wow. I mean, it takes some doing. I mean, writing a book is a massive deal anyway, but having all those other things put on top of it is just so many layers of you know, things to just take on board and realise what's happening.
And as you say, I've practiced a lot of deep breathing myself over the last few months.
I bet. How do you think you'll feel on launch day?
Scared again, because that's another the next step, isn't it?
Yeah.
Of opening yourself up to another layer of feedback and opinions.
I mean, I guess you know, there's the excitement aspect of it.
Mm.
I mean, as you said earlier on, it's all very exciting, but there's different types of excitement.
Yes.
And with, you know, launching it for the world to see again, that's... I'm not trying to scare you even more here. I'm honestly not. But I know for myself when I've done it.
Mm.
And, you know, it's one thing talking to people and saying, I've written a book about such and such. And, you know, you chat to people in the street and then you're saying, I've written a book about... about this. They say, oh, what's it about? And then you talk about it. And they say, oh, okay, you know, that sounds interesting. Tell me about it. And then you talk about it. And, you know your thing because that's your career. Yeah. That's what you're spending all your time doing.
Yeah.
But then you've put it in a book and let other people spend money. That was, for me, a big deal because they're going to spend their money that they've worked hard for.
Yes.
On a book that I've written out of my head. You're thinking, oh, and then you're fine. With me, it's finding all the reasons why they shouldn't do it. And my husband kept saying to me, don't do that part when you're selling. Don't do that part. Don't tell them why they shouldn't buy it because you've put a lot of effort into this.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you're going to be excited on launch day. Mm. I hope that I will be there at some point on launch day.
I hope so.
Because, I mean, I will have seen from, you know, one part of it, then the next part of it, and then the next. And it'll be really exciting to see that. Do you know anything about the launch yet?
I don't know. I'm kind of... The only way I'm able to process all of this for myself is to take everything kind of one step at a time.
Right.
It's a useful technique that I think works for a lot of people as well. If I just think about the thing that I'm doing at the moment, then I'm okay.
Right.
So at the moment, I'm having my final read through, my final personal edit, if you like, before I start the process of uploading it to Amazon and all those things. So, yeah, I'm taking it one step at a time, and the launch party's still, you know,
in
two or three steps down the road for me.
Right, but you can see it.
I can see it, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a very healthy way of, I mean, if anyone's going to know, it'll be you, won't it, of how to deal with these things.
Yeah.
What do you think was the best and worst thing about writing it?
The best thing for me was actually writing. I loved the actual writing process. The sitting down in a coffee shop with the laptop and just doing my 1,000 words a day that I set myself that I would do. And I loved that side of it. And the worst bit for me was the having to then reread it and look back on it and start criticising myself and saying, I need to do that bit different or say that differently.
So I do find, actually, so many people don't... I mean, obviously, I don't always interview non-fiction writers. Mm. Mostly it's fiction, but, I mean, I've done both myself, so I kind of know the deal on both. But it's a very different process with each one. And I know you write fiction as well, so, you know, you can see the differences in the two.
Yeah.
But with non-fiction and a business book as well, and it's your business, so there's so much personal... maybe baggage even coming from it.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you feel about people in the real world out there? How they're going to not necessarily view you, because that's probably not the right way of looking at it, but I mean, they're going to relate to you, aren't they, in a different way? They're going to know you as Brenda, the hypnotherapist, and Brenda, the author, because you're going to be different people to different people, aren't
you? Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, putting all those into one big box, I mean, how do you think they'll see you, view you? And knowing all the things that you've had to talk about in the book that were quite tricky to talk about?
Hopefully it will just enhance the way people see me. You know, I have tried to be open about my own struggles with anxiety, which sometimes you can't... Well, you shouldn't really be doing in a therapy situation. You know, it's okay to disclose small things about yourself if it's going to help the client.
Right. Okay.
But generally, we don't disclose a lot about our own anxieties and our own background in the therapy room. So that's kind of a big step forward for me. But I'm hoping it will help people. I'm hoping if more people that know that you can let go of anxiety, the more people that know that it's doable, I think that's a good thing.
Is it about relating? To like the reader will relate to you in that way. Is it about that?
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping will happen.
Right.
I'm hoping it will allow people to relate to me in that additional way, not just as a therapist, but as somebody who knows what it's like to have a panic attack.
Right, because you're speaking from experience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. No, I totally get that. It's you know, panic attacks are always going to be different for different people.
Yeah.
And you know, when I've had them, they're just going to be different from the way that you have them, but each of mine are not going to be the same, so
exactly.
We're looking out for different things, I guess, as well. But as I say, I've read your book, and there's so many things about it. I thought, oh she's talking about me, but she didn't know me then, so how could she know? So yeah, I mean, you can relate to so much of it.
Yeah, and I think you're right. Everybody does anxiety and panic in their own unique way, but there are those common threads that run through it for most of us.
Oh, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Mm. Gosh, and you've written a book about it. Oh my gosh, how scary. How does that feel, being called hypnotherapist and author?
It's a bit weird, actually. Yeah,
is it a bit alien at the moment?
It is, very alien. It's a new thing. And it always takes a while, doesn't it? I remember 10 years ago having to get used to being a hypnotherapist. So, yeah, hypnotherapist and author.
It sounds lovely.
It does.
Yes, will you wear dark glasses and throw a shawl over your shoulder?
Maybe not.
Oh, OK. A bit too far. We've asked you loads of questions. We've covered loads of aspects of the book and of your career. But I've got a few more questions. And we've got about 10 minutes left. So let's see if we can get them all in. How did you know what to include in the book and what to leave out?
I basically trusted my unconscious mind, my own unconscious mind, I think. I just sat in a coffee shop with the laptop and just typed. And it didn't all necessarily come out in the order that it's in now.
Right.
We've moved stuff around into a more logical order since. But at the time, I just wanted to get everything out of my head that were the tools and techniques that I teach clients over and over. So, yeah, I think I just sat there, allowed my unconscious mind to flow and typed.
That sounds wonderful. Mm. And you allowed yourself time to do that too, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yes.
Oh, I think that's probably part of the key of doing it all, isn't it?
I did. I did take a couple of months off of seeing clients in order to just have that time and space to do some writing every day for a couple of months.
And you did 1,000 words a day at least?
That's what I set myself, yeah.
So what happens if you didn't manage to get to that goal? Or did you not allow yourself to not get to that goal?
The thing that surprised me was that I always found it really easy to get to 1,000 words.
Wow.
What I always made a point of doing was stopping at 1,000 words because I wanted to... I didn't want that... The next day, I didn't want that feeling of dread of not knowing what I was going to write.
Okay.
So I found that if I stopped kind of midway through a thought, I'd always feel, oh, good, I've got something to pick up the next day, something to flow from.
Is it much the same as with fiction? If you're, halfway through get to the end of the chapter and then start the fresh chapter, you think, oh...
Yeah, I couldn't have faced that the next day.
That's quite intimidating, isn't it?
Yeah.
So sort of get to the climax of that chapter and then maybe finish the next day.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So the title is No Tigers, No Lions. So where did the title come from?
It's a phrase that I've always had... Well, I've had in the back of my head for a long time when I deal with my own anxieties, and it's a phrase I often say to my clients. When we're having really bad anxiety, when we're having a panic attack, we're basically in fight or flight response. Our body is trying to get us to either run away from something that's dangerous or fight something that's dangerous. But as most of us know, we're very rarely surrounded by something dangerous. We're having an anxiety attack in the middle of Tesco's or, a panic attack while we're driving or something. So no tigers, no lions is a phrase I've often had in the back of my own mind. If I'm feeling anxious and I can look around and there's no tigers, no lions, no strangers with knives, then I'm okay, I'm safe.
Right, so it's literally that reminder.
Yeah, it's just a little reminder to me and something that I teach my clients, just reassure yourself, you're okay, there's nothing dangerous.
Now, we've been really fortunate to be able to see the front cover way, way ahead of everyone else. It has been on the show's Facebook page, Writer's Block Local Radio Show. So if you do go on there and have a look, we are the very first people to see it, so thank you so much for that. Tell me about the book's cover.
That's a picture I had in my mind as soon as I started writing, and I knew that's what I was going to call it. That's the exact picture I had in my mind. But I'm not an art. I can't draw. It's not a skill that I've been blessed with in any way. A lovely fellow therapist who's written a few books before, and I said to her, I've got this idea. I need to do a book cover. And she put me in touch with someone who's done her book covers.
Right.
And he was wonderful. He just took a really rough sketch with little stick people that I put together, and that's what he came back with. And I'm really pleased because, as I say, it really is the picture that I had in my head.
Wonderful. Gosh, when it comes together.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so amazing, isn't it? Mm. So thank you for letting us see that, by the way.
You're welcome.
Did you learn anything new about your career while writing No Tigers, No Lions?
Mm, that's a tricky one, isn't it? I think we're all learning all the time, aren't we? I think I learned how much I know, how much I, from a personal point of view, it was, you know, how much I've actually learned over the over those 10 years, and how to explain those things to people in a different way, in a new way.
So do you think actually then writing the book has helped you, will it help you be a better therapist?
I think so, yes, because having to explain them in a format that, when you're in a room with somebody and you're explaining these things, they can ask questions, they can look a bit puzzled, and you can go, oh, maybe I'm not explaining that right, I'll have to approach it from a different way. When you're putting it into a book, you don't have that luxury. So I had to kind of rethink, is that clear? Is that would that get across to people? So I think,
so having other people see it as well. I mean, your husband has obviously seen it, so he's going to be looking at it from a different way.
Yeah.
So did he approach it from the way that your clients would, or did he come with a completely different way?
Yeah, my husband's only had one bout of anxiety in his whole life. He's one of the least anxious people that I've ever met. But yeah, he was able to approach it from that point of view and give me feedback from that point of view. Other people, as I say, one other person who read it is a therapist, so I've had feedback from another hypnotherapist and feedback from yourself. So I think that's important to get a range of different feedback.
Right. I was going to ask you about the launch party. We covered it earlier, but I'm still going to push it. You know, is there? I know you said earlier on you can see it down the line. How far down the line? I want some sparkly shoes. I want to get out there. Basically, can you not just sort of like do it tomorrow, and then we can just have a giggle and stuff?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Is it something that you were going to think about just before it comes out, or are you going to have it come out and then have the launch party? Or
I think I'm going to get the actual production of the book out the way. I want to be able to hold something physical in my hand,
yes,
and then think about how to celebrate that.
Do you know what? Actually, that's right, because when you've got that physical, that, you know, that book in your hand, and you can, it's so very tactile experience. It just means so much, doesn't it? Having it there, you can feel it, you can touch it, you can see it.
Yeah, and it's
then
real.
It's real. Mm. Yeah, wonderful, excellent stuff. Right, well, in the meantime then, how can listeners find out more about you as a hypnotherapist, as an author as well? How can they find out more about you?
So my website is my name. It's brendacox.co.uk, and it's all about my therapy practice at the moment. And I'm on Facebook as Brenda Cox, Cognitive Hypnotherapist.
Lovely. It's been lovely chatting with you. I must admit, it's just gone so quickly.
You.
I mean, it always goes quickly, but it's been a fun one as well, because we've incorporated hypnotherapy, psychology, which is always a subject that comes up with characters all the time. Mm. Psychology is such a big deal with creating characters, but doing it for real. We're not playing here. We're doing it for real.
Exactly.
So it's been fascinating. So thank you so much for being on here tonight.
Thank you.